epistle is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. In those days the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God, either to the depth of hell or to the height above." And Ahaz says, "And I will not ask, and I will not tempt the Lord." And he said, "Hear therefore, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to be grievous to men, that you are grievous also to my God. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. He shall eat butter and honey, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." The gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And when the angel had come to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she had heard him, she was troubled at his word, and kept pondering what manner of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace with God. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb, and shall bear forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he shall be king over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How shall this happen, since I do not know man?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you, and therefore the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, also has conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing shall be impossible with God." But Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary is also known as the Incarnation of our Lord, the moment at which our Lord Jesus Christ became man. Of course, he was God from all eternity. But at the word at which Our Lady spoke, "Be it done unto me according to thy word," at that moment, Christ became incarnate within Our Lady. And it is fitting that on this day, this feast, we celebrate this Mass as a special pro-life Mass, a Mass in order to proclaim the sanctity of life from the moment of conception. For our Lord, through the common teaching of the Church, of course, this occurred 9 months before his birth on December 25th. And so the Church has taught that the humanity was there for 9 months before our Lord was born. But what about us? What about us? You can claim that because God is God, maybe that doesn't apply to all men. The Church also teaches through her liturgy the same for the Blessed Mother. For we have a feast December 8th, the Immaculate Conception, the moment at which Our Lady was conceived. And then, of course, 9 months later, the Church also celebrates the feast of Our Lady's birth on September 8th. This is the common teaching of the Church. From the moment of conception, human life begins. And let us not think that that is not an important question. For in today's society, the question being debated, the question being argued about, from Congress all the way down, is that very question. At what moment does a human person come into existence? Let's put it a little different way. At what moment did I become me? At what moment did you become you? Now, there are many people who want to say various things. You have to have consciousness or something like that, and therefore, if you don't have a consciousness, then you're not a person. These things, these type of solutions, when you look at them with any amount of reason, just fade away. Like the snow in the bright sun. They just melt away. They don't hold water. What about a sleeping person? What about a person? All these other type of questions. The person isn't conscious. And then we begin to realize and say, no, that's not correct. Or even someone who might not have full consciousness, they're still a person. At what point, though? At what point? We arbitrarily say 3 or 6 months after conception, and then after that, okay, they're a person, and we shouldn't harm them. Is it just something that a lawyer or a judge proclaims? Or can we know for certain? You know, we know our holy faith teaches that I become me and you become you through what I explain through the liturgy at the moment of conception. And we're all adults and we know at what moment that is. But sometimes when we try to speak up in society, we're beaten down. We're accused of trying to impose our religious beliefs upon others. To say, well, that's what your religion teaches, but don't try to impose your religious beliefs upon me. This is America, and we have separation of church and state. And we can say, well, that's fair. It's a fair statement. For we can also say that although our holy faith teaches this, we can also know it without the benefits of the Bible, without the benefits of the liturgy, without the benefits of 2,000 years of tradition. There is a fundamental truth that when truth is found, no matter how it is found, if it is true, then it cannot contradict a truth determined in another way. I'll give an example, an ancient example, an old example. There was once a man named Seiger of Brabant. And he taught that he could use philosophy, and he could come to a conclusion that was completely opposite of the Catholic faith. And he tried to claim, well, but this is true. What I say and my philosophy is true, even though it directly contradicts the Catholic faith, it is true and it has just as much truth as what God revealed to us through our holy faith. And it caused a controversy. I see some furrowed brows there. Everybody realizes this just doesn't seem right. You have to be able to come to the same conclusion. And of course, Seiger caused a controversy. This was in the Middle Ages, in the 1300s, and ultimately his position was declared false. Once we start thinking about it, we realize truth is truth. It doesn't matter how we come to it. If it's true, you can't contradict something that's understood in a different way. So what am I getting at? I'm getting at, even though the fact that our holy faith teaches that life begins at conception, we can also come to the same conclusion without the benefits of divine revelation, using pure scientific reason, just from what we understand in biology. The conclusion has to be that life begins at conception. But what makes me me? At that moment, conception, something happened. For those that matter, support supplied by the father, and that matter supplied by the mother, would only live for a few hours. And then once it came together, when placed in the proper environment, it then lasts for decades. It becomes a person. Something changes. It now grows on its own. As long as it's in the right environment, it will grow. Given nutrients and the proper things, it will grow. Just like once a child is born, if it's in the proper environment, it'll grow. If we have to keep it warm, we have to feed it, we have to take care of it. And it's the same with us adults. We have to remain in the same, the proper environment. We can't live on the moon without the benefits of something. That's the wrong environment for us. We will die. It's the same with that person, right? A few moments after conception, they have to have that environment. And that environment is supplied by their mother. Biology teaches this. Modern science teaches this. That something happens to that matter. Something is different. We could say the DNA is different. It acts differently. It then begins its own trajectory through life, independent of its mother. That is the moment of conception. And that is the moment at which I became me and you became you. That is a truth that we can come to through pure natural knowledge, through science. It's also a truth that's taught by our holy faith. They cannot contradict each other. Truth cannot contradict truth. And so the task before us is to proclaim that truth to society. Until society recognizes that at the moment of conception, a person is there and has and should have equal rights under the law. Until that moment occurs, we should never rest. There's a thing called the Personhood Amendment. I don't know why some people who are pro-life are against this. This is the essence of the question. That at the moment of conception, a person is there and should be protected under the law. For that is what our philosophy, our science teaches us, and that's what our holy faith teaches us. So, today, at Holy Mass, let us pray for our nation. Let us pray that God would help, that we could then somehow, things are changing, but that our government, our society would recognize this truth, would stop lying to itself. Until so that every person, from the moment of conception, let us pray that they are recognized and protected and guarded under the law. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.